Let's see. So this would be the third Wednesday of November already, and we're in Bloomington. The time is flying. Thanks for having us again.
Good to see you again, Joe. Getting ready for Thanksgiving next week.
Hard to believe. Yeah, lots going on. We'll get to some of that in a little bit. I wanted to start by some good news. I heard you won some awards, or the city won some awards.
We've had a few of those rolling in, Joe. One was an important one from the fire department. The fire department got its national accreditation and standards and bumped up a notch from a 3 to a 2, and one being the best. We're one of only 11 fire departments in the state, I think, that's rated at a 2. That helps show the sophistication and responsiveness of our fire, and it actually can play through for insurance prices for people. We again were the perfect score on the Human Rights Index, which we're really proud of, the only city in the state to get that perfect 100 score on protecting human rights. We're very proud of that, second year in a row. And then just this week, we learned we were in the top 10 on a Digital Cities Award that came through. So, you know, those are, you never know exactly what comes through, but it's important to keep measuring ourselves against other cities. So we're happy about all three of those.
When you talk about the fire station level rating going up, is that something that just kind of happens over time, or is that through investing and doing more with the fire
department? This is a very intentional effort. Chief Moore, who's been with us about a year, has been very focused on trying to improve fire equipment, training, prevention, systems, and all that has been paid off, importantly, and we're going to continue to work at it to improve that.
Over on the Bloomington police side, a new grant for more cameras downtown. I guess the question would be, the current cameras there, are they working? And in that case, then, are you hoping that more will help out more?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The cameras, the data, we're moving into this new world of more and more data. Cities, when I meet with other cities and mayors, you know, it's just palpable how important it is that cities continue to move faster on understanding what's going on in our cities, looking at the data that tells us the dynamics from public safety to transportation to planning to housing to all those things. And so this is a piece of that. You know, we have drone. We use a drone now that we didn't use a year ago. You know, we use cameras that help us do things. And it's all of a piece of thinking about how, as a government, do we be transparent and effective so we can give the services that people want from us.
And then does that help the other direction too in terms of retainment of police officers? Does this help them to do their job?
Well, all this technology is just a tool, right? It's a tool to help us do our jobs exactly so that the police, you know, I mean, you could think about what radar guns or whatever, those were a tool that was new 30 years ago, I don't know how long, to help them do their tools, and cameras can be helpful too. We always want to be sensitive to making sure it is the right tool to help us do the job that we want to do, but we'll keep experimenting with it.
Just quick update on Switchyard Park. They're still moving dirt over there for more of sewer type lines and so forth, but also there was a new proposed affordable housing project too, slated to go in there. Why there?
Well, so Switchyard is going well. The sewer project is just about wrapped up on time. Yes, you know, I feel it's important, as we're doing a beautiful big new park, that we try to make sure that park works for everybody, people all walks of life. And we're very excited to be able to dedicate a piece of property right next to the park for some new affordable units. 16 are planned there with a new affordable partner under the Bloomington Housing Authority. And the Parks Department has approved it, and they've got a lot of work to do still to arrange it all. But just making sure that this park, you know, sometimes you can have improvements that cause prices to go up, that cause people to get priced out of neighborhoods, and we want to do everything we can to make sure this neighborhood works for everybody around this neat new park. Opening in 2019. So.
Still yep. On track.
On track.
As of now, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Solar panels soon more going up, I hear, even downtown in where the farmer's market is.
There, I tell you, there are panels all over the place. We're putting up about 15,000 solar panels between September and the end of this year, 2017, in order to beat the terribly planned and bad choice by the legislature to put this deadline in. But We're even going to do panels, I think in the next few weeks, are going to go up on the farmers market awnings. And you sometimes you don't see all these roofs that are getting panels. You'll see that one when you come to the farmers market. And we hope to have about 15,000 panels in place, which will generate 5 megawatts of electricity, 5 times what we're doing now in terms of solar in the community. So it's a really important step, doing our part for climate change, trying to say to those who disagree with Paris and the efforts that no, we are all doing our part on that.
I wanted to read a little bit of a statement. Governor Eric Holcomb announced, I believe a week ago, it's been a historic year for job commitments and Hoosier wages. Did Bloomington see any of that?
Well, you know, there's a lot in those kind of data, and I might be interested to dig deeper into the data about job wages. Certainly, we're very proud in Bloomington that we've seen some really important job announcements. Of course, the biggest was Cook and their expansion commitment there, the purchase of Catalent coming into town, a third big life sciences company, but all kinds of little stuff too. You know, I meet a lot with companies that don't make the headlines, but they're adding 5 people here or 10 people. I was at dinner the other night with a young man who's bursting at their seams in their tech company. And they're excited about being in Bloomington. They love being here. They just need to find more space. And that kind of stuff doesn't hit the headlines much, but it's really a lot of those smaller companies growing that help keep the economy dynamic and evolving. And I'm excited about Bloomington's future. It's not guaranteed. We have to do a lot of things right. We have to work on infrastructure. We have to work on the workforce training, housing costs. All those things play into making sure the economy grows well.
Yeah, and workforce training, something else that Governor Eric Holcomb laid out for his 2018 agenda. It was interesting to hear you talk about some of the more smaller tech companies. They're bursting at the seams, but yet we have this trades district that's sitting there empty. How does that translate?
Yeah, you know, that transition is difficult, challenging. We're working on it. From what I'm told by our private investors in Bloomington, they don't tend to build speculative buildings in Bloomington, where you build an office building and say, I build it, they will come. That happens in bigger markets, bigger cities. In our market, it tends to be those buildings are dependent upon pre-lease. So a lot of what's going on now, and it's happening right now in the Trades District, is potential building investors are talking to potential tenants and trying to line up that, you know, if we build it, will you be a tenant? What kind of lease would you sign? And I think that's going to come. It takes a little time. I knew the Trades District, my view was it's got to be an organic development. We're excited to have the mill going. We're excited to have TASIS going in there. We're excited to have PEDCO Affordable Housing going in there. And we're excited about the discussions that will evolve and build momentum there, I think.
I wanted to also quote this from Eric Holcomb, and I thought of you. He said, guys like me say, we wish Washington, D.C. would let us tend to our own affairs. And sometimes the locals say that about the state. And I don't know why I thought of you.
Why might you think of me? You know, you're quoting Holcomb a lot. So let me, I appreciate that he said that. And that is true. We and I talked to mayors here in Indiana about the importance of mayors from all stripes, Democrat, Republican, big, small city, medium city mayors, being able to consistently remind the governor and the state legislature, maybe particularly our state legislators, let cities be who cities are. We're not all the same. We don't need to be all the same. You need to let our economies develop. You need to let us work on the ways our constituents and residents want us to work. You know, the economy, you mentioned Governor Holcomb about the economy. The Indiana economy has had a really hard 50 years, if you look back. Our share of the national gross domestic product has gone down a lot. Our share of per capita income has gone down relative to the rest of the country. That's not easy to fix, and every governor has said they want to fix it, and I've worked for some of them. It's hard. I do think where it really happens is in cities. It's in cities that help these businesses grow, that help it, that become the places where people want to live, and they want to grow jobs, and they want to be there. And my goodness, you've got to let us cities do what we can with our residents to make those choices on parks and on sidewalks and on infrastructure and on affordable housing and on energy and all those issues on schools. And so I encourage him that I'm glad he said that second part, and I hope it'll cut through to the General Assembly too.
Anne emailed in a question. The court case is moving forward with the annexation. The city made a deal with Cook allowing them to avoid annexation. She says the original rollout was not well received by some of the residents of the county that were affected by the plan. The current special deal with Cook is unlikely to help with this perception. So if the courts allow the plan to move forward, how will the city win over the residents?
So, look, annexation was never done as a political or PR effort. I proposed annexation because I believe, like all of our history, the city of Bloomington boundaries need to reflect the urbanized area of Bloomington. My predecessor didn't annex anything. We had 12 years where we didn't annex, and the city grew a lot. The community grew a lot. I think changing the borders to reflect where the urbanized boundaries are makes sense. It's what we've done for 187 years, and then we stopped for 12 years. I'm glad the annexation lawsuit, we won the first round. There's several more rounds to go. But I proposed annexation because I think it's the right thing for the city. I think the debate was good, the discussion was good. There was no magic in the exact placement of all those lines. And I think we have been and continue to be ready to talk about where should that line be. But the long run, if the city boundaries don't change, we're going to end up in a difficult situation where we have a lot of people living right next to the city, using the city, part of the city, but not part of the government of the city, not part of the economic base of the city. So I'm going to continue to talk about it, and I know it'll be interesting, and I look forward to continuing those discussions.
A couple other newer things that popped up too, the city and Indiana University collaborating on a bike sharing program. How will that work?
So this is exciting. Bloomington should have a bike share program. We got people who love to bike. We got all these students. We got people wanting to move around town. We got a very bikeable community. We've got silver status, gold status in Bike Friendly City. So finally, now with IU, which is exciting, we've done a joint request for proposals. Should get them back in about a few weeks, actually, to see who's out there who will do a bike share program with it. We hope to roll it out in the spring. I'm looking forward to using it. I've used them in other cities. I know many people do when they go to other cities. And I think it's the right thing for Bloomington. I hope and expect it'll be popular if we can get the right vendor to come in.
So as the holidays approach, I assume will Bloomington be having the Canopy of Lights ceremony?
Absolutely, Friday after Thanksgiving. Don't miss it.
Be there on the square. And then also, kicking off the bicentennial is coming up too. Any plans for that?
Yes, Joe, so you're right. The city and the county both turned 200 years old in 2018. We both were founded in the spring of 1818. And so New Year's Eve this year, if you're looking for something to do, come on down to City Hall. We're gonna have a nice party late afternoon, early evening, New Year's Eve. To help usher in our 200th year and begin the bicentennial year. So more details will be coming, but for those of you who plan ahead for your New Year's Eve party, think about that coming down to City Hall late afternoon, early evening.
I didn't know that you have a singing voice and you sing. And you're actually performing this coming Sunday.
Well, Joe, I do sing. I've enjoyed singing, and I'm very pleased. The Quarryland Chorus, which is a wonderful local chorus, asked me to join them in a performance, as Sylvia McNair is also joining on Sunday night, a moving piece called Tyler's Suite, which is in honor of recognizing a young man who was hazed for being gay and killed himself tragically a few years ago. And it's a powerful piece, and I'm glad to do it. It'll be at the Buskirk Sunday evening, the 19th at 7 p.m. Anybody wants to see that?